Wow, it's always a blessing and honor to be before this beautiful body of believers. It was great seeing so many new faces last night, standing at the door, and I think Saturday night was the night where so many people came here for the first time. It was very sweet and just gave us a sense of fulfilling our purpose for being here. It was great. So the resurrection, I was reading, one writer said, what if the angel had said to Mary, he is not here. He has ascended. Think about that. He is not here. He has ascended. That would have been great, but not like anything like what he said. So you fill in the blank. He is not here. He has risen. And go and tell the disciples that he will meet them in Galilee. So Jesus was in his body for 40 days after the resurrection, in the same body that he lived in, even though it went into the tomb so severely and utterly, the word that comes to mind is mangled. Through all he endured. But it was that same body that rose from the dead. And as they say, the stone was not rolled away so that Jesus could come out. The stone was rolled away so that people could go in and testify of the fact that he had risen. So Jesus was here 40 days in this body. He said to Thomas, you know, see, it is me. He says, put your fingers in my prints, nail prints, and in my side. It doesn't say that Thomas did that. Perhaps he didn't. He was just so amazed to see the Lord. And then Jesus appeared to the 11, and he says, I mean, how much real can it get? He goes, you guys got something to eat? It's not a ghost, you see. You got something to eat? And he ate some bread, I think, fish. Fish and honeycomb, I think. I think so. That's what's coming to memory. Anyways, he ate. And it apparently went through his digestive tract, and we're not sure about all that, how that worked, but it was his body. It was his body. And that body was not just like any body, but it could all of a sudden appear in a room behind locked doors, and it could disappear. And it could walk and talk and appear like any other person. That body could join two very discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he could appear to them, and they don't think he's anyone special, except that apparently he's very uninformed because he appeared not to know what happened to himself. And so then he just kind of leads them on. It's so cool. He just leads them on to, like, extract some information from them. And then he pretends he's going to keep on going when they've arrived at their destination. And they beg him, please stay with us. So he does. And he broke the bread. He's the guest, and he's the one breaking the bread. And then their eyes were opened. And then he disappeared. And then they didn't care so much about the bread anymore, because they had to go back to Jerusalem. And remember what they said? Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us about the scriptures? And isn't it true for us? Doesn't our heart burn when he opens up the scriptures to us? He is the Word. He is the living Word. So God puts a high esteem on Jesus' body, and he puts a very high esteem upon our bodies. And so I just wanted to read 1 Corinthians 6, if you would open there, just read a couple of verses. Because these bodies too will go into the grave, and they will come up again. Jesus did ascend to heaven. And what is he doing? He is undertaking a colossal building project, apparently. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. It seems that this is the New Jerusalem. It seems like this is a city that descends from heaven like no other city that we have ever seen or could even imagine. And could it be that the saints who have gone home before us are enlisted in that building project? I mean, I think there's plenty of work to do up there. And could it be that Danny Quirk is working on your room, apartment, mansion right now? But I think maybe he's in charge of the, you know, the food canteen, the canteen truck. And Peggy's got her, what were those muffins called? The what? Grace muffins, those they look like giant mushrooms. You could pull the top off, and that was the best part of it. Or maybe Pastor Palmer is over the, you know, the finance, or however that works up there, keeping tabs on every cent. And maybe Martin Rodriguez is an inspector. He's inspecting the work because he was just kind of, you know, matter of fact, he would say, super bien, super bien. Like, really good work. We don't know how it is, but he is preparing a place for us where we will live forever. And that place will come to planet Earth. And we will be in these bodies, but in the improved version. So I hope we like our bodies, and I hope we like the Earth, because it's not going away. But it's going to be really glorified, and it's going to be absolutely outstanding. He's preparing a place. He is interceding. And he is giving gifts to his people to do the work while we're here in these bodies. So just if you will look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and I was going to read verse 19, but let's start with verse 17. And I think, you know, in light of the fact that these bodies are going to be resurrected, not just, what's the other word? Resuscitated. People in the Bible were resuscitated. Jesus was not the first person to come back from the dead. But all those people who came back from the dead died again. Jesus came forth from the grave, resurrected, will never die again. So it says in verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So let's just think about that. We are one spirit with the Lord, individually and together as a body. One spirit. Not two spirits, not 40 spirits, not 400 spirits. We are one spirit with the Lord. Say hallelujah to that. Okay, don't get so excited. And then it says this, and You know, we are just living in a day where it seems like Satan is just pulling the stops, where he has made it so easy to sin. It's just like you don't even have to try. It's just like, it's just there, right? You know what I'm saying? So Paul says back then, flee sexual immorality. You know the word flee? It means like run for your life. There's a rattlesnake. Flee. Run for your life. There's somebody who's out to get you. Flee. Run for your life. And then he says here, this is a loving message. Is it a loving? I want it to be a loving message. I want it to be like just love. Just love. Just love. Agape love. Thank you, Lord. This is what a loving Lord says because he cares for us. He is so protective of us. So he says, listen, you guys, you're one spirit with me. And he goes, I want to help you, us. He says, flee, run for your life from sexual immorality, because it's a destroyer. It's a distractor. It will grieve the Spirit of God. It does not, will not, cannot help us in any way, ever, not one time. There's nothing good in it. It's false. It's a lie. So he says, every sin that a man does is outside the body, and that's worse. That's bad enough, right? But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And these bodies are sacred. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, these bodies are sacred, and that's the body plural, the church. Are you okay out there? Yes. Okay. You're tracking with me? Yes. We need the love, don't we? We need the love. God, pour on your love. Love releases us. Love strengthens us. Love transforms us. Love, we need God's love poured in. Keep yourself in the love of God, Jude said. And he said, or do you not know? This is to help us. That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're all little temples. This is like the big temple. Every church corporate body is like a big temple. But individually, we are transporters of, we are like the Ark of the Covenant, with Israel following behind, the 12 tribes, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the sons of Aaron. And now we are the privileged ones to get to carry in our bodies the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat. God spoke to Israel from between the cherubim on the top of the mercy seat. And God speaks through us, also through his Spirit from the mercy seat. We are temples of the living God. We are precious in his sight. To think that God would esteem us that high, that he would put his Spirit permanently in these frail, weak bodies. Think of how highly he must esteem us, and the value that he puts upon us, and the trust that he has, not in us, but in himself, working in us and through us. Because that which he has started, he will complete. Or do you not know? Let's feel the love right now. Feeling the love? Wow, he's saying, do you not know that your body, okay, point to yourself, my body is right now the temple, housing of the Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. Whew. He's like, it's just like the words are piling on now, making an impression upon us that the Spirit of the living God rests inside of us. We take him wherever we go. Whatever we see, he sees. Whatever we hear, he hears. Whatever we do, he is present. Wow, that is amazing. And then he says, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God. Help us, Lord, to glorify you. Therefore, he says, therefore. When it says therefore, you got to see what it's there for, right? So therefore, I would say the conclusion is, if God has deemed us righteous enough in Christ to be the transporters, the Ubers, the taxis of the Spirit of the living God, then how can we not glorify God in our body and in our spirit, our human spirit, because we are actually a spirit that has a soul that has a body. He says, therefore, which are God's. So when we rise from the grave, then we will have a glorious body like unto his glorious body. This is by the working of him who can do anything. And this is what he will do. So Jesus came forth from the grave in his body. His body was sacred. His body the disciples saw and touched. And then John saw him in heaven. And whoa, that was another stage. That was his glorified body, where the one who felt comfortable enough to lean upon Jesus' breast, when he saw him in heaven, all he could do was fall down like a dead man, because the radiant glory that exuded from the Lamb of God was more than he could handle, even in a vision. Can you imagine? And so our bodies will be like unto his glorious body. To some degree, we don't know how that works, but eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of God's people, the things that God has for those who love him, the house that he's preparing, the intercession that is going on our behalf, and what God is doing in his body right now. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are God's people. It's no small thing, is it? It's no small thing. When we see each other, we're not just looking at another person. We are looking at, in a sense, a holy of holies. We are looking at a holy of holies. That's how sacred the work of God is. That's how sacred we are to one another. And there goes familiarity. And there goes anything that would cause anyone to stumble. And that makes us just very, very conscientious of God's presence within us. So lots of love to us. Thank you, Lord. He loves us. He is a Savior. He is for us. He is in us. He's taking us home. He's got big plans. So, Lord, we worship you tonight. We thank you for these bodies. As weak and frail and failing sometimes as they are, we thank you for these bodies, because they are ours eternally. And so we thank you for the great plans that you have for us. Now, Lord, we're just finally just asking that your Holy Spirit within us would be a spirit of burning, and that it would burn up through the spirit of love. It would burn up the chaff. It's valueless. It means nothing. Father, burn up the chaff we pray, in our lives, that these bodies would be consecrated unto you, doing your work, fulfilling your will, and thank you for so highly esteeming us in Christ that you would make us carriers of your presence. In Jesus' name. Love you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, we'll have a closing song. We have prayer for Brent and Pastor Dominic, right? Brent, do we pray for your trip to Colombia? Is that it? I don't really know. Do you come up here? We just pray for you there, or what? I mean, I don't know what you were asking. Were you asking for prayer? Do they come up here? Oh, okay. All right, so as they come, and then we're going to sing, and that I was thinking about being a new believer. How many of you would say you're kind of like a new believer? You're just kind of learning. This is kind of new for you. Just raise your hand, kind of. Yeah, okay, let's see. How about any Federal Hill people here? They're old saints, the Federal Hill. All right, so we got new. Now, when he was preaching and the doctrine and the teaching, it reminded me when I was first a new believer and I was listening to this man speak, and it was so much like what I just heard. It was stirring my heart. And I was hearing the word of God, and I started to think, this is different. This is like God is speaking from the Bible, and I'm responding to it. So you have initiation, and then your response, and it's between you and God in worship. It's what we call in our ministry, highest form of worship is listening to God as he speaks from his word. And so we concentrate and we respond and listen and respond, and we are in fellowship with God. We are the temple and the Spirit dwells in us. And I start to believe that, yes, I have victory over sexual immorality. Yes, there's other things that are kind of under my feet. Yes, I believe. I mean, I don't know how it'll work. I don't think I can do it. But I believe, I'm believing what he's saying. And then it happens. Like in the fall, the leaves fall off the trees. And I kind of feel like that happens in our lives too, that as we are living, God gets rid of things. And I just start thinking this way and believing him, and things disappear. And I decide, I grow up, I start making these decisions based on what God is saying. And then you just have peace, and also your life, and this is the last thing, your life has a kind of direction and a method. The method is listening and believing and responding in your heart, and then in that you find yourself walking with God. And it says that Enoch walked with God, and what happened? He was not. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. So Enoch walked with God, and then kind of Enoch disappeared. Like, where'd Enoch go? His wife could say, where's Enoch? What's his? I'm calling him all the time, and he doesn't answer. Enoch is not picking up. Where did he go? The old man is no longer running our life, but we have a response to God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And as they are in agreement, there's something that falls away. And you don't go back looking for it. You don't go back picking it up. You just flee. And you just move on. And God takes care of you. God does. He takes care of you. So that's it. Wasn't that a good message? Thanks, Pastor. It was amazing. Beautiful. Amazing. And I'm so excited about going to heaven. And I'm excited about my changed life. And this is getting on to be 50 years. It's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. And it's still exciting and precious because God is God. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to sing a song. And we have direction. Let's see. We have the direction. And kind of get that in your heart. Listen to this. Look not at the things that are seen. Now, what are some things that are seen? Look not at the things that are seen. Well, this room, I can look at the room. I can look at my apartment. I can look out the window. I can look at the beautiful stars and everything. It says, don't look at what you can see. It says, look at what is not seen. And I can't see heaven, but I'm looking at it. I'm actually waiting. I'm excited about it. I mean, I just believe it. It's amazing. You look not at what is seen, because what is seen kind of captures you. It captures you, and you got to be detached. So I'm in the world, but somehow it doesn't have the same power and authority over me. I'm kind of detached because I'm not looking at it. Remember Lot's wife. The angel said, don't look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. But she looked back because she had to. Guys, that's how she lived. She looked at what you could see. Remember Abraham and Lot. And it says that Abraham said, Lot, you go that way, I'll go that way. You go east, I'll go west. You go west, I'll go east. And it said, Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw how beautiful Sodom and Gomorrah was. And he said, I'll go there. And Abraham said, fine, then I'll go there. Because I'm not looking at what is seen. I got something else going on in my heart. I'm living by faith. How about people, don't take this the wrong way. When I was in Bible school, some people moved to California, and Pastor Stevens asked if I could go to Finland. And I thought, I want to go to California. But I never made it out there as a hippie. I was like a hippie, and we were hitchhiking around the country and stuff. I never made it that far. I want to go there. Because that's like in me. How about people who want to move to Florida or California or Montana, or they want to go to some other place? Well, why? Because of what you see or because of what you don't see? What you don't see, you can't live by what you see except when you're going to get married. Be sure she looks pretty good. You got to have that. That's got to be part of it, you know? I mean, it's my philosophy about it, you know. So anyway, but I need God to do it because men are crazy. Ladies, do you know that? Don't trust them. Men are nuts. Men can't get it straight. You got to have a godly man. He won't get it right. And you need to get it right too. But as we walk with God, I think we got a pretty good shot at having it work out okay. Okay, I think I'm done now because I hit that subject. I got to finish. All right, would you pray with me? All right, so we heard a great message tonight and thankful for this week. What happened this week? what you're doing in our Bible college, what you're doing in the affiliated ministries and churches and many places. We want to, together as a body, function as a body with our gifts and find ourselves occupied with you in faith and walk with you. For we are the temple of God. Wow. Maybe somebody listening isn't a believer. We have answers for you. We also have questions. If you would like to talk, we could help you. And you have questions for us, and we can guide you in the scripture and teach you that all you need is simple trust in Christ, and he saves you by his grace. There is no sin you've committed that cannot be forgiven. There is no problem that you have that he could not handle. There is no alienation or boredom or loneliness or fear or anything that is greater than who he is. He is God, and he loves you. You need him. Trust in him. Tonight, put your trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and have a good time. Stand up and just say, God bless you, he's risen, and have a nice time. Go ahead. Oh, okay, come on up, guys. Hey, okay. What are we doing?
I'm going to Columbia.
You're going to Columbia?
Medellin.
Okay, so here we go. They're going to Columbia in Bogota or where?
Medellin.
Medellin, okay.
Something like that.
Medellin. How many want to go with them? Columbia, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Come on, last minute. Okay. Father, we pray that you send them and anoint them in this mission to Latin America, Colombia, with boldness, leading, guidance, protection, raising up disciples, evangelism, love, ministry. Precious God, bless them and all the believers in Colombia tonight. The salt of the earth, the lights of the world. And bless this team. In Christ's name, amen.